Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please take the roll?
24 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call of the House today.
Our chaplain today is Reverend Roger Wharton. Would the members please remain seated for beginning?
I wanted to continue talking a little bit about the Genesis creation story, because this story, along with many of the creation stories of other traditions, tell us many important things about our relationship with God. Monday, we talked about how we are created in the image of God, and if God is a creator, how we share in that co-creation with God and the ongoing creation of the universe. And hopefully that we can be co-creators that will create a universe and a world that is good. One of the other ideals that we learn about God from the creation stories is that God is a gift giver. And because we are created in God's image, then that makes us gift givers also. God rejoices in the gifts that God gives to us. We don't have to look far to help appreciate those gifts that God has given us, our own bodies, the mountains and the ocean, the trees and the animals that surround us in this land in which we live. Those gifts have all been given to us out of God's love for us. As gift givers ourselves, we should recognize that gifts are different from commodities given in exchange for something else. The gift is really only magical in that it has a spirit that is kept alive by its constant donation and giving. Gifts are to be given away again, not just merely kept or merely exchanged for some other commodity, but given away again, enjoyed, and then passed on. Many Native people in our world understand this idea of gift-giving. In our own land, the gift-giving ceremonies of the potlatch make this ritual and ongoing gift-giving very much a part of the way of the people of this land. As members of this House, you too have been given gifts. You have been given gifts of leadership and counsel and wisdom, gifts that have been recognized by the people of this state, and they in turn have given you the gift of leadership and the gift of being able to make laws for them and for this land. So in a sense, you have been made custodians of the gifts of this state, just as well as you've been made custodians of the lives of the people and creatures within this land. So as you enter into this session today, may you truly be gift givers in the image of God. May you truly give and pass on those gifts and share those gifts in love, not for the hope of gain, whether it be power or other material wealth or special interests or influence, but just to give those gifts because they've been given to us and they are to be given and shared with others. So may we give so that the magic of this great land is kept alive by our spirit of gift-giving. Let's stand for prayer. Blessed are you, Lord God, creator of the universe. Out of your love for us, you surround us with the countless blessings and gifts. Help us all to see your gifts in the creation that surrounds us. Give us grateful and thankful hearts. And bless these men and women whom you have gathered from the four directions of this great land with the gifts of wisdom and counsel. And give them the desire and will to be good stewards and gift givers of the gifts that you have so freely given us. Amen.
Representative Hanley, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for every spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 22nd and the 23rd legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 22nd and 23rd days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 22nd and 23rd legislative days be approved.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce the body a close-up student from Cordova High School, Ed Herndon. Will you welcome him for me?
Representative Gall.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I feel that very few basketball teams across the country can match the makeup of the Haynes Glacier Bears. The Haynes team has five Eagle Scouts on it who are also honor roll students. And four of them are here this morning. I'd like to introduce them and ask them to rise and be recognized, please. We have Doug Olrud, Jason Ramsayer, Kurt Heinrich, and Carl Heinrich. Please help me welcome them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Boucher.
Judy and Debbie have had the opportunity to visit you. Thanks for the contribution of parents throughout the Anchorage area at $5 a contribution. They're down here in Juneau representing the Tough Love program, which primarily deals with the problems that the young people have, particularly with such legislation as runaway. And I think if those of you who haven't had the opportunity to talk to these two mothers surely should, because there's a real story behind their trip down here, and they have great hopes in being able to visit with you. So if either Judy or Debbie come by your office, take the time, because this isn't just a story that involves somebody else's child. It's a story that involves theirs. And one that is a strong indication that in the areas of juvenile problems, we need, this body needs to move. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a couple of students with the close-up program in Gallery A. From Eielson High School, I have Corey Lorenzo, and from North Pole High School, I have Lee Villarreal.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, there's two former members of the legislature. Don't ask me which years, because one of them preceded my tenure. Bob Blodgett and Nels Anderson in Gallery A.
Would those two gentlemen who were distinguished members of this body like to share with us a few words? Thank you. Representative Ulmer, you've been seeking the floor.
Yes, thank you. I would like to recognize a constituent of mine in Gallery A. It is a very special person involved with the close-up program, the instructor, Joanne Bloom. Thank you.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also associated with the close-up program, I have two members of my district, two constituents, Maida Buckley in Gallery A, traveling teacher, and Kelly Carlson in Gallery A.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, on behalf of Representative Sund and myself, I'd like to introduce to the body two constituents from our district. And the first is a lady who has been working for some time here in Juneau, and that is Veronica Slater. And next to her, however, is a lady that I've known for many, many years, and she lives in Hyder, Alaska, where she recently moved about a year and a half ago with her son, and that's Veronica's grandmother, Mrs. Slater. And if you'd ask her to rise, please, I'd like to give her a hand.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce an individual that's working in my office today, Evelyn Waska from the community of Chowakbuluk, on the community above Aniak, that's on the north banks of the Kuskokwim. She's the city manager of Chowakbuluk and a constituent of Kay Wallace's.
Representative Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I was looking in Gallery B, I just happened to notice a young lady sitting there named Sandy Matika. Sandy, back in the early 70s when I was lieutenant governor, felt a tremendously strong need to put young people to work in the state. And thanks to her energy, enthusiasm, and persistence, the YES program was a direct result of her efforts, and I would like to recognize her for that. Sandy?
Representative Herman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have close-up students and teachers today. In one of the galleries, I believe Gallery B, Roger Steinbrecher from Sandpoint, Paul Ludwig, June Minimum, Amy Louise Eubank, Honey Wilson, and Jim Morgan. And from Southwest Region School District, Bob Parks, Sophie Hurley, John Wanhola, and Elena Lockuck.
Mark, our Representative Boyer.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I too have constituents, young constituents, shared with Representative Frank this morning from Fairbanks, Peter Fine and Flory Weld, both in Gallery A.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two groups that I'd like to introduce to you this morning. From the Copper River School District in Gallery B, we have a friend of mine and a teacher from the Kennedy Lake area, Glen Allen School District, Dean Sawyer, and the students, Kim Howard, Carmel Tansey, and Heather McConaughey. I guess they're over there. And then from the other side of the district, from the Rail Belt School District, Susan Whitmore, Chris Bullard, Doug Brombach, and Sharon, I may get your name wrong, Ceramity? Close? Okay, good.
Representative Ulmer.
If you would like to look at Gallery A, you'll see some red balloons, and they're being held by two constituents of mine. I'd like to introduce Cindy Rutherford and Mary Ann Miller. They are representing Men Incorporated, and the reason they have some red balloons and flowers is because You Who I Love You, Valentine's Day is upon us, and Men Incorporated, which I'll be talking about during special orders, would love to make a presentation at your office or to your spouse. And if you'll help me welcome them, thank you for coming.
Any further guests for introduction?
Mr. Speaker.
Oh, Representative Wallace.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce some friends here participating in the Alaska Close-Up program. The teacher is Mr. Lynn Clausen. And if you'll stand as I read your name, please. Richard Clausen, a student from Takotna. John Capsule, a student from Takotna. And Peter Snow from McGrath. Would you help me welcome them, please?
Any further guests for introduction? Looking at Gallery A and Gallery B, I see only three people that have not been introduced. In Gallery B, there is Lynn Davis from Sitka. Would you stand, Lynn? My daughter, Carla Grusendorf. And then standing in Gallery B is someone that's been with me a long time, my wife, Karen. Last call for guests for introduction.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, I'm afraid we did overlook one very important person in Gallery B, a lady who has been among us for quite some time, one who has lobbied many of us on many important issues concerning the trucking industry. Gives me a great deal of pleasure to acknowledge today Mrs. T.J. Thrasher.
Are you ready for messages from the governor?
Dear Representative Grusendorf, in accordance with AS 39580 and Article 3, Section 25 of the Alaska Constitution, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the position noted. Department of Administration, Commissioner Gary M. Peska.
State Affairs Committee.
Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Commissioner John Anthony Smith.
Standing Committee, Labor and Commerce.
Department of Community and Regional Affairs, Commissioner David G. Hoffman.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Department of Environmental Conservation, Commissioner Dennis D. Kelso.
Resources Committee.
Department of Health and Social Services, Commissioner Myra M. Munson.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Department of Labor, Commissioner Jim Sampson.
Labor and Commerce.
Department of Law, Attorney General Grace Berg-Scheibel.
Judiciary Committee.
Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Major General John W. Schaefer, Adjutant General.
State Affairs Committee.
Department of Natural Resources, Commissioner Judith M. Brady.
Resources Committee.
Department of Revenue, Commissioner Hugh Malone.
Finance Committee.
Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Commissioner Furman Rocky Gutierrez.
That will go to the Transportation Committee.
In accordance with AS 44-1940 and Article 3, Section 13 of the Alaska Constitution regarding further succession, I submit the name for legislative confirmation of appointment as noted. Lieutenant Governor, Commissioner Hugh Malone.
That will go to State Affairs.
I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate approved the following citations and they were transmitted to enrolling, honoring Rodney J. Rhodes and in memoriam Gilbert Bixby. And the Senate approved the following citations and they are transmitted for consideration, honoring Klawak Women's High School Basketball Team, Alaska State Class A Champions 1987, in memoriam Clyde Sherwood, and in memoriam Ronald A. Rhodes.
Those citations will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We received the following reports: the annual report of the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, that's been placed on each member's desk, and the Spring Creek Correctional Center legislative intent to transfer API patients. And these are all on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
On the daily order of business, this brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee has considered Executive Order 66 to eliminate the statutory requirements for two separate divisions and a deputy commissioner in the Department of Administration with telecommunications powers and duties, and recommends it be approved. The report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing approval, Menard, Ulmer, Donnelly, Davidson, and Martin. Executive Order 66 has no further referral. The Rules Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 7, honoring the 100th birthday of Ernest Greening, and attaches a zero fiscal note, and it appears on today's calendar. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 10, relating to the minting and sale of commemorative gold coins, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 10, State Affairs, with a new title, reports it back as follows with a fiscal note. The report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing DuPass, Menard, and Donnelly. Having no recommendation, Ulmer, Davidson, and Martin. House Bill 10 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 22, relating to hazardous physical agents in the workplace, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass. Adams, Porchot, Gall, Brown, Boyer, Donnelly, I think, and Swackhammer. Having no recommendation, Rieger and Wallace. House Bill 22 appears on today's calendar. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 61, relating to the renewal of permits for the use of mental health land of the state, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 61, Resources, with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Cotton, Chairman, signing do pass. Springer, Davidson, Sund, Pierce, Navarre, and Cotton. Schultz has no recommendation. House Bill 61 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 86, relating to the definition of veteran for purposes of veterans' employment preference rights, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing do pass, Menard, Ulmer, Donnelly, and Martin. Davidson signed do pass with original fiscal note. House Bill 86 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Michael Morris by Representative Grusendorf and Senator Eliason. Citation honoring Nancy Carson, 1986 Alaska Teacher of the Year, by Representative Larson. Citation honoring Alice Longworth by Representative Sund and Taylor and Senator Jones. I have no further citations for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Citations will be referred to Rules Committee for calendaring.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 8 by Taylor and Hudson, relating to levels of service by the Alaska Marine Highway System.
The House, please stand at ease.
Did you? Well.
House, please. Will the House please come back to order? The referral on that will be Transportation and the Finance Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction, first reading, and reference to House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 49 by Zawacki. An act relating to deduction from a term of imprisonment by the Board of Parole.
Three standing committees, Health, Education, and Social Services, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 114 by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to surety insurance.
Judiciary Committee and Finance.
House Bill 115 by Frank Miller and Boyer, an act relating to public use of the Dalton Highway.
Transportation and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 116 by Sund, Boyer, Davis, Kopanen, and Ellis, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Electrical Examiners and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 117 by Ulmer, Davidson, Hudson, Navarre, Grunberg, Boucher, Springer, Swackhammer, Collins, Menard, and Brown.
State Affairs.
An act relating to the state song. House Bill 118 by Schultz. An act relating to decisions on right-of-way lease applications.
Transportation and also the Resources Committee.
House Bill 119 by Pettijohn, Pierce, Schultz, and Taylor, an act relating to regulation of gambling and establishing the Alaska Gambling Board.
Labor and Commerce, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 120 with a governor's transmittal letter and a fiscal note. By the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to interest earned on the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date.
One Standing Committee, Finance.
House Bill 121 with a Governor's transmittal letter, 10 fiscal note, and 10 fiscal note with analysis. By the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act repealing a provision related to payment of costs by private prosecutor.
Judiciary and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 122 with a governor's letter and a 0 fiscal note. By the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the authority to compromise certain misdemeanors.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 123 with a governor's letter, a 0 fiscal note, and a 0 fiscal note with analysis. By the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the issuance of international airport revenue bonds and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance.
House Bill 124 with a governor's letter and a fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the oil and gas conservation tax and providing for an effective date.
Resources and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 125 with a governor's letter and a 0 fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to a cause of action for certain conduct involving discriminatory harassment.
Judiciary and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 126 with the governor's letter and a 0 fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to the Public School Foundation program and providing for an effective date.
The Hess Committee and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 127 with the governor's letter by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act making supplemental appropriations, a transfer of an allocation, and reductions in the fiscal year 87 operating budget and providing for an effective date.
One Standing Committee, Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Bill 22 by Porchot, Boyer, and Ellis, an act relating to hazardous physical agents in the workplace. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass and attaches a 0 fiscal note. Report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Signing do pass, Donnelly, Ellis, Davidson, Kopanen, Menard, and Boucher. Furness has no recommendation. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 22, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass. Adams, Porchot, Gall, Brown, Boyer, Frank, and Porchot, I think. Swackhammer, excuse me. And having no recommendation, Rieger and Wallace. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no committee substitutes or amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that HB 22 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill 22 by Porchot, Boyer, and Ellis, an act relating to hazardous physical agents in the workplace.
It's before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 22, an act relating to hazardous physical agents in the workplace. When I see that, I think it's Bernard for some reason. I would like to know what exactly we're talking about when we're talking about physical. I also think of Mark Gastineau, Lonnie Anderson, Jane Fonda, things of that nature. What are the physical agents that we're talking about in this piece of legislation?
Representative Porchot.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know if I want to get into this. Actually, this is the same bill that passed this body 2 years ago, with one notable exception. The title of the bill, when I resubmitted it, was changed 2 years ago, as some members may recall. It was an act relating to physical agents. That created similar discussions, and so the title was changed to Hazardous Physical Agents in the Workplace to try to avoid some of the misperceptions that might arise. Basically, it amends an existing statute, a program that we have governing hazardous substances and toxic substances in the workplace. It would amend it to also include what are known as physical agents. The 10 physical agents should be contained on each member's desk on the back page after the memo. They include such things as microwave radiation, ionizing radiation, which are X-rays, ultraviolet radiation, infrared radiation, cold stress, heat stress, lasers, and several others. The examples of the workplace situations that these agents are encountered are also provided, as well as the health effects, significant health effects, that have been documented with certain levels of dosage or exposure to these agents. I hope that maybe clarifies the situation.
Any further debate? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if there are other members here who have occasionally heard from constituents regarding the overregulation of our society and our economy. It's certainly one that that annoys me and some of my constituents. And here we have a typical example of what is at the root of this problem. The representative from Mountain View listed the physical agents, or some of them, and he talked about cold stress and heat stress. That's something of a misnomer, Mr. Speaker, because what we're really talking about are cold and heat. In other words, if you hire someone to sweep the snow in front of your gift shop and it's below 20 degrees outside, you're required by this law to post a list of the dangers involved in working in such a hostile environment, and also to tell this employee of yours what sort of measures he can take to help himself be protected from the possible physical damages which are going to accrue to him by shoveling snow under these hazardous conditions. That, if we pass this, will be the law of the state. Also, it gets too hot, and I didn't get a chance to see what was too hot. I imagine we don't have much of a problem with that up here, although in Fairbanks, I understand it gets pretty hot occasionally. But if it gets too hot, you're also going to have to tell the young boy who's out there raking the leaves on the front yard of your business establishment that he's going to have to drink water occasionally, rest, wear light clothing. It's well-meaning, it's well-intentioned, and it's motherhood, an apple pie, and who can vote against it? Well, I can, and it's a blow for liberty. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Porchot.
I wanted to just rebut one of the examples that was used. I don't know if that example would be covered or not, but we do have to keep in mind that these are not arbitrary standards. These are standards for notice now, not that any particular protection or safety is required under the law. This is only that to give employees notice that they may be exposed, or they are being exposed to certain levels of these agents that have documented health hazards associated with them. I think a clearer example on the case of the cold would be for people working on the North Slope and the dangers of hypothermia, which, as many people know, I mean, it's not like getting cold fingers. There are some subtle types of things that happen in hypothermic situations that are not intuitive or readily apparent. Similarly, precautions against hypothermic situations can indeed awareness of that can help people avoid those situations. By the way, these types of training programs for new employees and notification are currently being done by most employers on the North Slope, and we have received no opposition or adverse testimony from any employers on this bill.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 22 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his, or her vote. Would the clerk please tally the board?
33 yeas, 6 nays.
House Bill 22 has passed the House. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 7 by Gruenberg, Grusendorf, Pierce, Barnes, Boucher, Boyer, Brown, Collins, Cotton, Davidson, Davis, Donnelly, Ellis, Frank, Furness, Gall, Hanley, Hoffman, Hudson, Kopanen, Larson, Martin, Menard, Miller, Navarre, Pettijohn, Phillips, Porchot, Rieger, Schultz, Springer, Sund, Swackhammer, Taylor, Ulmer, and Zawacki, honoring the 100th birthday of Ernest Greening. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Being a concurrent resolution, it is in second and final reading before us. Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 7 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
40 yeas, no nays.
House Concurrent Resolution 7 has passed the House. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 6 by Cato and Taylor, relating to reciprocal competition in marine transportation services between United States and Canadian companies operating in Alaska and Yukon Territory. The Transportation Committee has considered the resolution, recommends it do pass, and attaches a zero physical note. The report was signed by Cato Chairman, signing do pass, Cato, Springer, Miller, Pierce, Hudson, and Boucher. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
The bill is before us in third reading with one amendment. Representative Cato, to the amendment. Okay. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request that we go to a second reading for a specific amendment.
Okay. The motion is to move back from third to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment. Representative Gruenberg.
Point of order, I don't believe the amendment's been distributed.
Do we have an idea, sir?
Yeah. One minute here. The question, of course, is that the amendment has to be before the clerk, and the clerk has it and will read it. I think it's of a short nature there where I'll have the clerk read the amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Martin. Page 2, lines 10 through 15. Delete the entire resolve.
We'll give the representative just a little latitude on moving from third to second reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to stick to the motion. The request is to go from third to second reading for a specific amendment. And without elaborating too much on the amendment, I want to just express that this is the whole key of the concerns that some have about the resolution that we are going to send to Congress. And in second reading, I'd like to have the opportunity to get more detail on that.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 6 be returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
19 yeas, 21 nays.
Motion to go back to second reading has failed. The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Cotton, the House please stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the joint resolution before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the debate on the entire resolution,
I don't mind the major emphasis of the resolution itself that tries to help Congress understand our problems in transportation system within Alaska and tries to help Canada to realize that we want to work in harmony with her as far as mutual relationship and the needs of transport and ore and equipment and human beings from one spot to the other. What I am concerned about in this particular amendment is the part that was suggested that we delete that section that says amend 46 U.S.C. United States Congress Customs 883, the Jones Act. Well, the most important part of the Jones Act to us that Congress has been trying to amend a number of times, most recently in 1983 and 84, was the third proviso. Now, some people feel, well, we have nothing to worry about. They know that Congress will never do that. They'll never go that far because of whatever reasons they think. In reviewing the history over the years, we see that from the very beginning, when we became a state in 1958, Washington, Oregon, and Congress have consistently tried to close the third proviso. You must understand that the third proviso is the only element of competition that keeps a lower freight weight from our carriers from the lower 48 than what we would otherwise have. The Sheffield administration did an excellent job in a very thick report of the cost to us had the state not insisted on the third proviso. Some said, well, we'd have nothing to worry about. Congress knows that that's the element, and they would never go that far. The trouble is, they have gone that far. In the statement of the Jones Act, it was said that legislation to eliminate the third proviso of the Jones Act, which allows foreign carriers to transport goods to Alaska via Canada, passed the House despite strong opposition of the Senate. So you see, don't think it would never happen. It happened in 83. The House passed it, closed the third proviso. The Senate now is Democrat. Don't be so blind. This is the first time in the short history that I've been here, and what I can read about the Jones Act since 1920, that we as Alaskans ever gave them an opening. You might say, oh, well, they're going to read between the lines. They know we don't mean to amend that section. We mean to amend Chapter 46. Well, the only part in 46 that we're worried about is the third proviso. Why give them an open when you don't need it? The resolution is very strong. It's very meaningful, except that one section which says amend 46, that means, in between the lines, close the third proviso. We're going to teach those dirty old Canadians. They gave us a bloody nose, so we're going to chop our throats. We'll get even with them. They stepped on your toe, so you're going to chop your leg off. That's what we're saying here. You can never have reciprocal arrangements right now with Canada because there's not enough ships or freight or needs that they have. We can't reciprocate to them as much as they are helping us in keeping the freight rate down. If you want reciprocal arrangements, how about she shuts off the tourism that comes to Alaska? We're trying to work with Washington now. We're trying to work with California now and the MCSL Maritime Issues Committee to make meaningful waivers of the third proviso, one that would allow Canadian ships to stay in Alaskan harbors for more than 24 hours at one time. That way, Southeast Alaska can very much increase its tourism. Maybe Canadian ships can go up to Western Alaska along the Aleutian Chain for a longer period of time, or even up in Anchorage. We're also trying to work out relationships with Canada and other foreign countries that will allow the export of oil. Look at that one.
We are a state that had vehemently expressed free and open competition. We very much want foreign trade. We are very much opposed to protectionism. But yet we are saying, here is what we would do. We would close down our ports to Canada unless we have reciprocal arrangements. Don't make a threat that we don't want to carry out. And don't be, and I will use the word naive, to say that Congress would never go that far. We see in 83 they went that far. The House of Representatives passed a resolution saying close it. The Senate almost did. You say, well, our senators would speak up on behalf of us. They were speaking up on behalf of us when they were in control of the Senate. Now that they don't have the voice, it may be different. I'm only asking, delete that section so that we can say what we mean and not put a threat in there that we hope will never be carried out. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
This resolution directed to Congress and the Reagan administration urges appropriate action to ensure that the Canadian government allows United States maritime transportation companies equitable treatment in application from waivers from the Canadian Shipping Act, which is their Jones Act, just as the U.S. government allows Canadian companies waivers from the Jones Act. A recent specific case illustrates the problem. Alaska Marine Lines had a waiver from Canada to ship Canadian goods to Whitehorse and Farrell, Yukon Territories, on its weekly barge run to Haines and Skagway. Its waiver was revoked due to political pressure from a Canadian firm that wanted to displace the Alaska Marine Lines with its more expensive but less frequent service. While American firms are prevented from competing with Canadian companies, the U.S. allows the Canadian National Railroad and Canadian vessels the right to ship American goods to American ports under the third proviso of the Jones Act. This resolution will help our congressional delegation to protest such trade inequities. One other thing I would like to say about free and open competition. We in the United States allow free and open competition. The Canadians, by not allowing waivers, are not allowing free and open competition. And that's what this resolution is all about. Thank you.
Any further debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 6 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Rieger.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, from no to yes.
From no to yes. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
35 yeas, 5 nays.
House Joint Resolution 6 has passed the House. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Joint Resolution number 6.
Okay. Notice of reconsideration has been given on the House Joint Resolution. Representative Boucher.
Mr. Speaker, I request your permission to move back to the introduction of guests.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
There was a gentleman that I happened to pass in the hall, and I had to drag him in here. He's sitting in Gallery B, or in fact, I think he just snuck out on it. Well, anyhow, I still wanted to recognize him. His name is Henry Benson. He was Commissioner of Labor with Governor Bill Egan, and I says, Henry, come on in here. I want to introduce you to the people. And he was an example of how we can learn from our elders, and there are not too many elders that I have that I can learn from. But when I first came down here, I said, Henry, what should I do? I had a number two license plate and a set of keys that were left on the top of my desk. And he said something that I remember still to today. Read the Constitution. But even though he slipped out in the hall because he's that type of man, he was one of the great public servants of the state of Alaska. And Henry, I don't know if you can hear me out in the hall there. I just salute you as Governor Egan's Commissioner of Labor in the trying times before oil when we still made this state run.
Under introduction, I guess.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, with your permission, I just noticed in Gallery A, probably someone that many of you know and also a constituent of mine, Tom Gallagher.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us, Representative Taylor.
Yes, from District 1, sitting in Gallery B, an old friend of mine, and I'm sure Representative Sons, Mr. Joe Murdy.
Any further business under introduction, I guess? Brings us back down to the daily calendar. We have some final action on some citations before us. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the following citations appearing on today's calendar be approved. First is citation honoring Ernest Greening, a great Alaskan. Second is the citation honoring the Cake High School women's varsity and men's varsity basketball teams, Alaska State Class 2A high school champions. Next is a citation honoring the 100th anniversary of the Juneau Volunteer Fire Department. Next is a citation honoring the Heidelberg Boys basketball team. Next is a citation in memoriam, Mary McKinnon.
Are there any objections on the citations before us today for approval? Hearing no objections, the citations have been approved. This completes our daily calendar, brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused from the call of the House as indicated. Representative Phillips from 4 p.m. Friday, March 13 to plain time Monday, March 16. Representative Frank from after session Thursday, February 19, to plain time Monday, February 23.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the names of members of this body mentioned by the Majority Leader are excused from the call of the House. Any further unfinished business? Representative Hudson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to House Joint Resolution 15 relating to High Seas Drift Net.
Okay, would the representative fill out one of those green slips and submit it to the clerk and she'll add it. Any further unfinished business? Okay, this brings us down to announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to announce that the Transportation Committee meeting Friday, 1:30, February 13th, concerning CR 6, relating to the promotion and making of state operating international airports, the meeting will be canceled and rescheduled. Thank you.
Any further committee notices? General announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
We have a very brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're under announcements. General announcements. Is there any further announcements? Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, on this Friday at 4 o'clock, the House Republicans will be hosting a coffee for Senator Frank Murkowski in the Governor's Conference Room, 4 o'clock Friday.
Okay. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The legislative basketball team has been challenged by Alaska Federation of Natives, and the game will be tonight at 7:30 at Marie Drake Junior High. And promptly at 7:30, the game begins. So be there early.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Anchorage Caucus will meet tomorrow noon in the Governor's Conference Room.
We will be meeting with representatives from the Anchorage School District. Thank you.
Representative Zawacki.
Mr. Speaker, with your permission, can we come back up to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
I have just noticed that in Gallery A, a very honored friend of all of us and constituent of Anchorage, former Mayor George Sullivan, has just joined us, and I'd like to introduce him.
Any further guests for introduction? I understand that, Your Honor, that you have also served in this body. Would you care to share a few words with us here of wisdom?
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think you have a lot of work to do without listening to me. I'll be talking to you in the hallway from time to time.
Fine. Any further guests for introduction? Any further announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Rail Belt Democratic Caucus will be meeting this Friday at noon in the Labor and Commerce Committee room, sharp at noon. Also, in keeping with our tradition, we have a birthday. And it's a birthday that's going to occur this Friday, but the distinguished member will not be here on Friday, so we're going to have a pre-birthday announcement. It's the distinguished member from Bethel, Representative Hoffman.
Are we ready for special orders? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission of the floor to speak on children in need.
Are there any objection? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The chaplain this morning shared with us comments from the book of Genesis in the Bible. In that same book, Mr. Speaker, the Creator asked the question, of where art thou, brother? And the response was, am I my brother's keeper? Mr. Speaker, that question was pertinent then, and it is pertinent today. Mr. Speaker, we have some 103,000 students enrolled in our K-12 public school program in the state of Alaska. Within the city of Anchorage, Mr. Speaker, we have documented some 1,500 students per month that are a ward of the street. Some of these children are classified as runaways, and some of them are classified simply as throwaways. Children, Mr. Speaker, who have been abandoned by their parents, children who are no longer welcome at home. Some of these children, Mr. Speaker, are subject to sexual, physical, and mental abuse. Most of them are enslaved in the drug culture and are forced to steal, rob, and pander in order to survive. Mr. Speaker, a survey conducted at McLaughlin Youth Center showed that 80% of the juveniles reported that they have been victim of multiple physical abuse. 40% of those students, Mr. Speaker, acknowledge committing the same kinds of crime and abuse against others that they had been subjected to. And some 68% of those students, Mr. Speaker, reported that they had been sexually abused or, in some cases, extremely sexually abused. Mr. Speaker, the Alaska Juvenile Crime Commission has developed a program designed to reach out and assist these students. They have requested state support of some $530,000, Mr. Speaker. In our budget consideration, we need to give high priority to this request. Mr. Speaker, in closing, a writer once wrote, and I quote, that I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that they possessed inside. Give them a sense of pride and make it easier. Mr. Speaker, we can make it easier by accepting our responsibility as our brother's keeper. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission of the floor to speak on the Alaska Marine Highway System.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Submitted today for the body's consideration is a House concurrent resolution sponsored by myself and Representative Hudson, and I hope it will be sponsored by many others within this body. In particular, the reason this resolution is brought before this body and the concern that I have, I believe, can be expressed very simply. We who live in Southeast Alaska only have one highway system. This body was tremendously inconvenienced on Monday due to a minor weather pattern problem at Juneau Airport. The ferry system is not subjected to those weather patterns. It provides and gets the milk through that we drink every week. It brings the fresh lettuce that's used in the lounge, used in our homes. You cut back on the ferry system in Southeast Alaska and the kids are going to be drinking sour milk, and you're going to be seeing wilted lettuce on the table. You're going to be seeing mail that's going to show up a week to 10 days later than it is today. You're going to watch an entire economy slow down as that system slows down. And that is only going to result in more pain and hurt to the people that are presently struggling out there right now to make their house payments and keep their kids in school. This ferry system that I'm talking about, Mr. Speaker, hasn't acquired any new boats, hasn't added any new employees on those boats from the time when it was being supported by the tax dollars of the people of this state who were paying for that service out of their back pocket. Big oil came along and we saw a lot of expansion in a lot of other areas. And we even saw considerable expansion in the administration of this system. An expansion that became so successful that during the last 2 years they lost 40% of revenue. The Peter principle works real well if you apply it to our ferry system. You get too many white hats sitting up on the top and they can't figure out how to keep the boats running. In essence, Mr. Speaker, that system has run and run very efficiently in spite of our efforts, not because of our efforts. And what I'm asking for here today is that each member will consider how essential our highway and transportation systems are and how crucial to Southeast Alaska this system is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask permission. Let me see if I can put that in.
No,
ask permission to
equipment.
Address the body on the subject of violence and Valentine's Day.
Well, that explains how you grabbed hold of that mic.
That's right. Power to
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, today I introduced two women in the gallery who had some red balloons that said, "Yoo-hoo, I love you." And I would like to just express to this body my deep concern about violence in our society and the small effort being made by those little red balloons dotting around the Capitol today to bring home a very important point, and that is a social problem in Alaska that has grown to proportions that I consider unacceptable. Domestic violence is cataloged in a report that you received last week from the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Like many other legislators, I receive more reports than I can ever hope to read. But I would ask you to just take a look at the introductory page. And on the introductory page, you will find a few alarming facts about violence in Alaska. 26% of the adult women living in Alaska have been abused by a spouse sometime during their life. And most of the abused women were abused at least once a month. At least 13,200 Alaskan women have required medical treatment by a doctor or a hospital for injuries sustained by abuse. And in Alaska, 50% of the female murder victims were killed by their husbands. Alarming statistics. We have a number of programs in the state of Alaska to try to deal with violence in the home. Some of them are conducted by the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Some of them deal with victims, and some of them deal with abusers. Men Incorporated is one program here in Juneau that deals with counseling for the abusers. There are many similar programs throughout Alaska. Every year they have a fundraiser called You Who I Love You, and they do it on Valentine's Day. Why? I think Valentine's Day is an appropriate time for each of us to search our own hearts. We talk about love. We give it a lot of lip service on Valentine's Day. Love for our spouse, for our family, for our co-workers. But it's awfully hard for us to translate that love to those people out there in Alaska who are victims of abuse. It is a serious problem. What can we do about it? As legislators and as individuals, there's a lot that we can do about it. As legislators, we can give support to those programs that require state funding to deal with both the victims and the abusers. As individuals, we can become informed and we can speak out. We can make it a priority for ourselves, for state government, and for Alaskans to come to terms with the violence. Until women and children are safe in their homes, they will never be safe on the streets. You Who I Love You is one small way of remembering that we can make a commitment individually through a personal contribution or as legislators by supporting these programs. Violence is unacceptable on Valentine's Day or on any other day. Valentine's Day reminds us of love. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday.
10 a.m. Friday.